with the leisure man, the leisure man, the leisure man, the leisure man, the leisure man.
We are back. Welcome to the Leisureman Podcast on NBC Sports. Paul Pabst, Andrew Perloff, your masters of ceremony. We run the podcast network over here at NBC in our minds. You know, we left you off right before the holidays with our Christmas extravaganza.
It was a cliffhanger, pretty much.
Oh, what a party that was. I was roughed up. Perloff, you had to put me to bed. We're back, though. The new year, 2020, is here. Great decade ahead, mostly for us. Where do you want to start, Andrew? How's your break? Anything you want to go over sports-wise, life-wise?
Well, it's January 9th. I don't think people wanted to hear about our break December 28th. I definitely don't think they wanted to hear about it now. I'm almost positive.
You know, I'm really proud of, or maybe embarrassed of, when we got back to here at the Dan Patrick Show, no one in the room said Happy New Year to each other. Now, it was January 6th, and it's because I think over the years I've chastised so many people for saying
that. No. It's not that, because we didn't go to work January 2nd. January 6th, because of the way the calendar fell.
Right.
You had such a buffer, So you don't like to have... I still got a lot of Happy New Year's in casual conversation. I got some Monday morning. And you, this is something you have a problem with?
Yeah, because after the first, I should say, it's over. To me, it's over. Happy New Year's is New Year's Day. It's a day. It's not a lifestyle.
No. See, I actually kind of disagree. It's like, Happy New Year, like, have a great 2020.
Would you... Would you say Merry Christmas to someone on the 26th?
No, but it's not Christmas anymore on the 26th. It's still the new year on the 2nd.
But I think of it as New Year's Day, and that's the Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
That's a stickler. It's not quite in the thing like that. Debate over Merry Christmas, that political debate over Merry Christmas is, I don't want to get into it, but it's insane. But this, I like that your big thing is Happy New Year on January 2nd. That's your big point.
My cutoff is the morning of January 2nd. I'll let it slide because it's only hours past. But
that being said, Happy New Year to all our listeners.
Happy New Year. Good to have you back. And hey, whatever holiday you celebrated, we hope you had a good time.
Yeah. Now it's already it's closer to Valentine's Day. Speaking of which, was my holy triumvirate of bad holidays.
Yeah. Andrew Perloff has one of the toughest situations known to man. You got Valentine's Day and your wife's birthday and your anniversary?
No, anniversary is in September.
Oh.
No, it's a Super Bowl trip.
Ooh.
You need a present for that.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day, you need a present for that. And birthday, present for that. It's and she wants a separate one for each one. Would it be fair to combine them or?
No, you can't. I've known you for years and you're...
My wife's a stickler for this thing.
I don't think people out there may know how big the Super Bowl trip present is. It might be more important than the, the Valentine's Day present for guys like us.
Yeah.
We go to the Super Bowl pretty much every year at the Dan Patrick Show, and we get to have a pretty good time. I mean, we work, but we get to go to Miami for 8 days.
And we leave the child care to our partners for over a week. And we have young kids, so that's tough.
And I'm a suburban guy. Almost for sure there's going to be a 12-inch snowstorm that my wife
every
has to shovel out of. And then she sends me pictures of her shoveling while I'm at the Lowe's
Hotel.
Would
you gleefully show us laughing? Sorry, Dana, if you're listening, but it's true. So that's a big present. Do you know anybody, by the way, who had a birthday on December 25th?
I have a niece. She's 16. Her birthday is December 26th.
So you get robbed. That's the worst birthday. Even in the week, you don't get two presents. Like your parents are going to screw you if you have a birthday on Christmas.
Yeah. And also your birthday is right around time when people are traveling. So your birthday might get celebrated a week later or a week earlier.
Yeah. Your party's not good.
It happened to this kid. Poor kid.
Yeah. No, it's terrible. Wait, by the way. Okay. So what was the original question?
So what's going on? What's new?
Not
talk some sports?
Not much. I mean, it is the NFL playoffs, Paul. It is the college football championship. You might forget it's a college football championship because the season ended, 7.5 months ago? Are we still in 2019 season? I've always hated the timing of the national championship game. I think I've railed against it for a while. This one is so late. I mean, come on.
It really is tough. I know what they're trying to do, and I know ESPN, they have people who do this kind of stuff and look at analytics and ratings, and they do know what they're doing. So by separating the national title game with LSU and Clemson, it takes away the buzz, but I think they guarantee its own stage on that Monday night. And they know what they're doing, even though it seems like we don't agree with it.
Yeah. I mean, I'd imagine this is a huge rating, although I'd imagine Alabama would be a bigger rating. I feel like Alabama's fan base is bigger than LSU. I know LSU's a premier team, but don't you think like ideal would have been Alabama, Ohio State, or Alabama Clemson rematch?
See, I don't think this can get much better. You have Joe Burrow, the number one pick this year, against Trevor Lawrence, the number one pick next year.
Sure.
Those guys are pretty known to people who are really casual fans this year. Not Burrow, but yeah. Lawrence.
Yeah, but there's a mystique about Alabama. Yeah, it's like seeing the Patriots in the Super Bowl, or seeing the Warriors or Duke or something.
Well, the constant in college basketball and college football is the coaches, not the players. So mm-hmm. Duke is Mike Krzyzewski and whatever his star player is. Well, I was listening to radio the other day. I think it was listening to Evan Cohen and Mike Babchick, and they were like, there is no buzz around college basketball.
I noticed the same thing the other day. Nothing. Zilch.
There's not one player who's capturing your attention, and it's also because you had a player last year that captured everybody's attention. Mm-hmm.
Zion was huge.
So there's not even a player that's close. Like James Wiseman, he seems like a hell of a player from Memphis, but he didn't even get to play.
Well, he's a big man anyway. So, and you know, there's this guy, Anthony Edwards, who's a big pro prospect, and Cole Harvey and stuff, but it's
the,
like
the kid from North Carolina
and yeah, Georgia and
but North Carolina's down. Georgia's not.
North Carolina's terrible.
Yeah, and they got a top pro prospect that's not playing a lot because he's injured.
And when you're flipping at night, you know, is there any games, college basketball games, have gotten your attention? I think usually it takes off after football anyway.
Yeah,
but it really is feels like a slow burn this year. I'm sure we'll get back to into it in February.
It's tough because it just repeats every year of the good players go. So the work to get to know who's playing for different teams. I've always liked Indiana basketball, and if I see them on, you know, FS1 or ESPN against Iowa on a Tuesday night, I'll put it on for a couple minutes, but I can't tell you I'm doing more than that.
A side topic. So is that Bobby Knight report going to happen?
Well, there hasn't really been a report. It's more so just like, a hopeful speculation.
Right.
Dan Dockich and others in Indiana. As you know, Bob Knight, the former coach of Indiana, was fired, I think, in 2000 and hasn't been back since. Now, he's been back on campus. He actually went to a baseball game in the past year. He sold his house in Texas and bought a house outside Bloomington.
Oh, wow.
So he lives in Bloomington with his wife. And some people are saying that his health is deteriorating. He's not a young man anymore. He's almost 80. He's gone to a couple speaking engagements around the Bloomington area and had some fun. And the speculation is Indiana's hosting Ohio State at Assembly Hall this weekend in Bloomington. Bob Knight went to Ohio State. He coached at Indiana. It's on national TV on Fox Sports. But everyone thinks this is it. This is perfect. You know, people will be talking about football. No one's going to make a big fuss off this. He walks in. He sits down. He takes his lap. The place will go absolutely batshit crazy. And that will be it. And then I don't know what's going to happen after that, but boy, I'm hoping it happens. I've always been a Knight guy, even though I'm aware of his faults.
Yeah, so is Knight a bigger deal in the Chicago area? Is Indiana like kind of a Chicago team?
Yeah, it's a good question. I would say two
hours away?
Remember, Chicago is a Big Ten town.
Sure.
Period.
Wait, where's Bloomington? I don't have the slightest
about
idea.
About 3 hours southeast of Chicago.
That's not bad at all.
Because it's southeast of Indianapolis. Remember,
Isaiah's from Chicago.
Isaiah Thomas was a big high school star, went to Indiana. And that kind of branded it a local school. When I was in high school, I told you this before, we had a terrible basketball team at Marion Catholic High School. Terrible. And no offense to my friends who played on the team. And we had a school called DeSales or De La Salle came in. I think it was St. Francis DeSales. And they had this kid named Eric Anderson, big white kid, 6'10", 6'9". Wow. He played at Indiana back with Allen Henderson and those kind of guys. Played in the pros for like 5 years with the Knicks, you know, bench player. He was a top player in Chicago that year. And there was a game, DeSales at Marion Catholic on a Friday night. Our team stunk. They were top three team in the state. So we all show up to watch a game. Sitting there in the game, and we're sitting there, and I'm a college basketball junkie at this point. I'm a big Indiana fan. I'm sitting there with a couple buddies, and I'm like, and there was an old white guy, older looking white guy in a red sweater and his hair parted to the side, white. And I was like, and he's sitting in the stands, like eighth row, and we have a little gym. It's nothing special at Marion Catholic. I look at my friends, I go, that looks just like Bob Knight.
Wow.
But we were so naive, we didn't even think like, well, that can't be him, because why would he come here? But then Eric Anderson's in the building, big recruit. So I slide over, and I walk around, and I stand. I can remember it to this day, standing on the side of the bleachers and looking up, like, that's him. And one of his assistant coaches with him, and some other young kid, like probably a driver. And we went back, and we started to chant, Bobby, our little dopey student section. And he put his fist up and gave us like a fist shake. And I was thrilled at 16 years old.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I could top that, but, you know, Kobe Bryant went to my high school. Yeah. So he had a few coaches in the building. Actually, I wasn't even there, but I was desperate to top that. Nobody was recruiting.
We didn't get to meet Bob Knight or anything like that, but it was neat to have him in the building.
Nobody was recruiting Jonah Goldfarb on my.
Goldfarb had some handle.
Yeah. No, I never actually saw, like, we had some players recruited, but is that a common thing? I guess you always hear on TV where the high school coach goes, the college coach goes to high school gym, but I don't think they do it as much anymore because of AAU.
I'm not sure.
At the tournaments.
With college football, my high school, Marian Catholic, had a very good high school football program. And we had this kid on the team when I was a senior named Andy Gasparo. And he was a, big, strong dude. And he was like a linebacker and fullback, more of a fullback. Really good, big, strong kid. And he was getting recruited by just about everybody. I don't know about USC and Texas, but anywhere in the Big Ten. And he had scholarship offers from Illinois and he went to Purdue. But I remember sitting in class one day, like yesterday, and it was, I guess, spring of my senior year of high school, and someone goes, Lou Holtz from Notre Dame is in the coach's office to meet with Andy.
Oh, okay.
And we left our class. I think I just walked out of my classroom and got a detention, and I walked down to where the coach's office were, and there's about 20 of us, kids who played football, kids who didn't play football, and we're sitting around the corner with our heads like a movie, 20 kids looking around, and we can't really see anything because we can't see in the coach's office. But I could hear Lou Holtz talking, and I knew my friend Andy is in there. And I'm like, there's not much bigger than the head coach of Notre Dame walking into your high school in the late 80s in Chicago. There's nothing bigger. I mean, there's not another college coach who would have made people freak out. It would be like Nick Saban walking into some high school now, I guess.
Wow. So I was going to say, you couldn't go to a game, obviously, because they're Saturdays. So
right.
In the fall.
I don't remember seeing any college
coaches. Yeah, you can't go to a game because you're working the game.
But yeah, it's like incredible. A Tuesday at 3 o'clock.
That's awesome. I love that you are the king of saying full names of guys from the past.
Well,
you're like when then Billy Gillespie walked down the street and.
But you mentioned the kid who with from your JYC.
Yeah, Kobe Bryant.
But JYC, you mentioned the kid.
I made up that name.
Oh, Jonah Goldfarb is not
There's
real?
There's no Jonah Goldfarb.
Well, Andy Gasparo was a good friend, good kid, good football player.
But you always tell stories. We always put the full name in them. It's kind of like, why? Have you ever noticed that?
Well,
there's like a rhythm to the way you say that because they're always like funny Midwestern names. You're like,
Andy Gasparo. John Gianetti, our point guard.
Yeah. You would never just say this guy, John, I knew. You always say his full name.
Well, I guess maybe I'm deep down hoping that they're going to listen to the Leisureman podcast and enjoy getting a little name check here and there because they were good friends and very good athletes.
Johnny G.
Oh, Johnny G. 5'7", was a star of our high school basketball team. And he had like a kind of a curly mullet, like a late 80s curly mullet. And so he took a beating on the road, but he's a good ball player.
Nice.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
Fast.
We're going to tease the Andy Gasparo recruitment story.
Oh, we should, you know what? Maybe we should have ended the show with that and started with the NFL. Man, we don't do it like everybody else
does. I don't know. I mean, like, who knows? Like, there might be rivals probably publishing a story on Andy Gasparo. Wait, where did he end up going again?
He ended up going to Purdue, played a little linebacker there, more of a special teamer.
You know what is funny, by the way? How, like, these huge recruits, like, you're like, this high school recruit is the biggest thing ever. Then you always find out, they played like a year and a half, got hurt, and became a dentist. That happens all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's a high school kids I remember watching growing up going, my God, this guy's the best basketball player I've ever seen. And then they go to like University of Illinois Chicago is the best scholarship they can get.
Yeah, and they're like a two guard who averages 7.4 points per game.
I went to high school with Rodney Harrison. He was a freshman as a senior. Now, again, he was a high school basketball player more than football, but the best football offer he could get was Western Illinois, which is 1AA and solid football, but that's the best Rodney Harrison get. And did he just late bloomer? I don't know how it happens.
Yeah, it's you never know.
Did you play high school with anyone or grow up with anyone who made it?
Well,
besides Kobe Bryant.
Oh, I'll say a couple names, see if you remember these guys. Do you remember Matt Blunden?
Matt Blunden was a quarterback.
At what school?
Blunden.
ACC, but not major ACC.
Not NC State. Not Maryland?
Close. Virginia.
Matt Blunden, yeah.
And he was a big-time basketball player.
Okay.
So he quarterbacked for 4 years, was a journeyman pro. And
so he made the NFL.
He made the NFL, and also he was a very good basketball player, like 16 points a game in Virginia. Made the tournament.
That's pretty serious if you can make the.
But I played him once, and they beat us there by 35. So I got to go in the game.
Yeah,
you've never seen a guy push me to the side and go to the hoop faster. But that's all I got. It wasn't Philly's a hoop sound. Real quick aside, I heard an interesting question. Matt Blunden was talking in his press conference about how he's from New York. He said no one in New York cared about football. They only cared about basketball, but I loved football and I was the anomaly amongst my friends. Well, does that ring true to you?
It does, because I lived in the East Coast for a while now, and it seems like New Jersey is a high school football state. New York is a high school basketball city. And then upstate New York, I don't think is that into high school football.
Yeah. Well, you're right. I don't see it's
New Jersey, it's though.
Not, like upstate New York is not like Ohio. New Jersey has great football. They also have great basketball. They have just great talent all over. But you're right. It's so interesting. I was like, Matt Rhule was very specific. He's like, I was an anomaly to be obsessed with football in New York City.
You went
not
down,
New York City itself.
Well, let's stay on this for a second. Yeah. Where's the craziest high school atmosphere for any sport you've seen? Because you went to Texas for high school sports, didn't you once?
Oh, yeah, but I went for the 7-on-7 tournament. I've never been to
a Friday
football.
Night.
Yeah, that's football. That was like an all-star game, and it was out on fields, and there's like 8 games going at once. I've never been to a Friday Night Lights game. I would love to do that. For me, it was our women's team in high school basketball won the district, and the state final was like in the Palestra or something, and the intensity of that is the most I've ever seen. I've never been to, but all my friends went back. We were in college, went back to watch Kobe play live all the time. And they said that was the most awesome experience they've ever had. Do you remember Kobe was getting like 17,000 a game?
In high school.
In high school, by the time he was over. Wow. They were moving him into the Palestra, into like Villanova.
For regular season high school games.
For regular season high school games. Have you ever been? I think you've been to a few, right? Have you ever gone back and seen anybody big like that?
Well, you know, high school sports is pretty big in Chicago. The one that stood out to me, though, when I was in college at Southern Illinois, I drove toward the Louisville for like a road trip with some bros.
Yeah.
And we decided to make a trip out of it and go to Louisville for the weekend. But we went and saw Damon Bailey. If you remember, Damon Bailey was the high school star in Southern Indiana, went to Indiana. And
how did you know about that back then?
Well, Bob Knight recruited him out of 8th grade.
Yeah.
And it was in the book Season on the Brink by John Feinstein. So in Indiana, he was a household name at age 13. Household name.
Right. Did he make SI though?
He did. Well, he did make SI when they did the best high school players. Remember that?
Oh, right. So, okay.
They did this thing about the best high school players on every grade. And it was Alonzo Mourning, Marcus Liberty, Damon Bailey. And
was Bailey like young too?
He's like a sophomore.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Freshman. And so he was very famous. And his games, he became the leading scorer in the history of Indiana high school basketball. And his games, they averaged like 5,000 a game because that's all they could hold at their local gym. So we were just outside Louisville in a little town called... Floyd's Knobs. It was like Floyd Central High School or something like that. There was a kid named Pat Graham who was a really good ball player. He ended up going to Indiana. And they were playing each other. And they were the two best high school players in the state.
Oh, so they traveled out of state for that?
No, it was on the border of Louisville.
Oh, Louisville's that close to Indiana.
Yeah, okay. It basically borders Indiana. And so we go to the game and we walk up to get to the game. And we're going to walk up to see a high school basketball game. And we go up to like the little ticket booth where you're going to give your ticket.
Yeah, sure.
And I go, hey, how much for tickets? She goes, tickets? I go, we get 3. She goes, there's no tickets to this game, son. She goes, you're about a month late.
Oh my God.
And I go, there's no seats. I go, no. And she goes, are you kidding me? She goes, we got like 7,000 people for this game. She goes, it's standing room only. I go, can we pay for standing room tickets? She goes, no, I'm not. I don't have any left. She goes, there's like a fire code. So I went and talked to the athletic director of the school. And I told him where we were, and we traveled all the way there. He goes, all right, just walk in with me, and I'll put you somewhere. He put us on the like the riser stage where the gym mat, where like the wrestling mats were. And we sat on the wrestling
mat. Oh, I know that area. Yeah. It always smells bad. That's so funny. That's why Kobe had to like go to bigger and bigger gyms because the demand was so high. Because what's the average high school hold? 1,000 at most?
Anywhere from 1 to 5.
Well, in Indiana, though, they have bigger arenas because that's like Texas football a little bit, right? Like high school basketball.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Steve Alford's high school gym held like 11,000.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
You can look it up. Maybe it's like 8,000, but look up what Steve Alford, Newcastle High School, what he held. Yeah. All right, let's get to some football.
Oh, football. Okay.
What do you have for us?
So I'm quizzing you. I got a quiz. It's USA Today, our buddy Lorenzo Reyes.
We know him?
I know Lorenzo. Okay. Yeah, he's a really good sort of generalist NFL reporter. Low Ray. So he ranks the top 4 Super Bowl matchups. This is kind of the thing that we might do as a poll on DP Show. What's the one you want to see? First, I want to hear what you think he did, and then I want to hear who you want to see Paul Papp get through to the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay. What he said is the best Super Bowl matchup. Yeah. I think he would pick, the star power of Aaron Rodgers. But the Niners seem like a pretty complete team. I think he went Packers-Ravens as the Super Bowl matchup he'd want because of the star power of the two quarterbacks. I'm going with that. Mahomes.
No, you're so close. He has 49er-Ravens first.
Why? What's his reasoning?
It's interesting. He said, both have aggressive defenses led by our secondaries of pass rush. The Ravens were the NFL's leading rushing team, and the Niners ranked second. Both coaching staffs are loaded with tacticians who analyze the opposition and look for weaknesses, and both offenses are as creative as they are versatile.
So his rationale is the best game matchup, not necessarily the best matchup to sell.
Yeah, it's like Aaron Rodgers, his offense is so boring this year, but yeah. Let's face it, he's the face of the NFL. He sells tickets. He's going more tactician, and I kind of get that because the 49ers are running all these trick plays. The Ravens are doing unusual things. Like, it's sort of a football purist. So what would you pick? And I hear you about it. Well, you're right. Aaron Rodgers is a big deal, too.
To me, it's a coin flip between the Chiefs and the Ravens. There's no downside to having Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson in the game. I think there's zero downside.
I would probably lean a little bit Lamar Jackson. I think if Lamar Jackson got to the Super Bowl, his star would rise so high.
Right.
It'd be like Michael Jordan. I mean, it'd be everything.
But you could also make the case that this is the same thing for Mahomes, whose star is already there, but this is the bow on it. Like, now he has his first Super Bowl of many.
But don't you need the story to be contained? This is the year of Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
To put the bow on it, Mahomes was last year.
Right.
He was Lamar Jackson last year. I mean, the similarities are incredible. They're both MVPs. They're both super young. So I feel like Lamar's just a little bit, but hey, you know, like you, I'm not complaining with either.
Yeah, the Niners, most people don't know anyone besides Garoppolo, and I bet a lot of people don't really know much about Garoppolo.
People are getting to know Kittle.
Yeah, Kittle.
Yeah, I mean, even casual, and everyone knows Emmanuel Sanders' name. The dude was at a Super Bowl for the Broncos.
Who's a hardcore NFL fan, not a casual sports fan.
I think Emmanuel Sanders is pretty big. You don't think his name is?
No, I don't think he's famous at all. Not outside of the hardcore football fans. Hardcore.
No, I don't think you need to be hardcore to know Emmanuel Sanders. First of all, if you play fantasy, he's a wide receiver.
Yes.
He's been around a little while.
But fantasy to me means hardcore. That means you live and die with
him. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think people are ready. They have these crazy running backs that are like Breida, Mostert, and Tevin Coleman are awesome.
Names you don't know.
Nobody knows.
Their defensive line is great. You don't know their names.
Deebo Samuel looks like a star in the making, but he's not quite there yet out of South Carolina. And like, but Nick Bosa. People know that name.
Yes, but they might confuse him with Joey.
So wait, who do you know on the Chiefs?
Mahomes is enough. Tyreek Hill is damaged goods.
Yeah, Kelsey.
But he's still famous. Yeah. Travis Kelsey's. He'll be the feature point.
Andy Reid.
Yep.
You know,
The Texans have Watt and Watson.
Yeah, but nobody thinks they're good. I've listened to a million podcasts.
I'm just saying if they made the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Oh, if they make the Super Bowl, but I don't even. You can't put them on that list because their odds are the longest of anyone. Like,
that would be the last team I'd pick to make the Super Bowl out of these matchups, out of these eight teams. Like if you said
right.
The one team I would not pick.
So you would you think the Titans have a better chance?
Yes.
I do too.
Because
I think it's close.
Because their style, it can be frustrating with running the ball.
Keep the ball away from Lamar Jackson.
Texans don't have that
right. But I do. By the way, Texans, it's funny you say that. They have two high wattage stars, no pun intended. Like, J.J. Watson, one of the faces of the NFL, Deshaun Watson is not far behind.
Right.
And Nuke Hopkins, you're right. So the Texans are good, but wait, let me tell you who else he has before you. He has the Packers Chiefs, as you mentioned, Packers Ravens, and Seahawks Chiefs. What about Russell?
Russell is kind of a guy that people take for granted, I think.
Yeah,
nationally.
That's a good way to put it.
They're used to him getting 10 wins and 30 touchdowns and being relevant, but it's been a while since he's been on the biggest stage.
Hard question to you. If you had your two boyfriends, Russell Wilson and J.J. Watt, going against each other in the Super Bowl, Seahawks-Texans, would you root either way?
I would always pick the person who doesn't have the ring.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way for guys like me to root when I don't have a dog in the fight. If it was Texans-Seahawks, Russell Wilson has one, some of his teammates have one, and Watt has none. And I also don't think Watt will be playing football 4 years from now.
Yeah, Russell has got 10 years left.
Right.
He's fine.
I honestly think J.J. Watt's going to be done before 35.
But there is something neat about Russell. If he does it with this team, they are not good, dude. I mean, they are not a talented team. They had to bring back Marshawn Lynch off the street.
Right. They're on their fifth string running back.
I know. Like, if Russell could do this, we used to have the, like, where's Russell ranked polls. This would seem, if he wins the Super Bowl this year, forget it. We're talking about him versus Tom Brady.
Right. Well, yeah, at least current, you would say he's, you know, you can make the case that he's the single best quarterback to win a game in the game right now if he won the Super Bowl.
Right. Tom Brady was an overstatement. I was getting excited.
Oh, no, but I think what you're saying, one thing about Brady is this is the first year where you would say, whenever I made a Brady argument, someone would say, like, well, Aaron Rodgers is more athletic and has more ability to throw, or Russell Wilson's better at running and moving the ball. I'm like, yeah, but if you wanted to win a game, who would you pick? If you needed to win a game, and I think the default was Brady probably the past 8 or 9 years, you're like, I just got to go Brady. Yeah. And now I don't think that's locked. I think people saw that he was good. Of course, they're going to blame his cast.
But it's 1 year.
He didn't overcome his cast this year, which cools him off.
He usually does. Yeah. I mean, the dude, they're still the defending champions. It's not like it's been that long since he's been in the winner's circle. You know who was really good and you didn't want to bet against? Big Ben with the ball in his hand. There was a period from like 07 through 2011. Like, he was tough to beat at the end of the game. Right. Eli Manning has been tough to beat at the end of a game.
I always liked that Ben late in the game. It really didn't matter what the rush was because he was going to fend off that first guy.
Which is, and that's why Russell Wilson, it doesn't matter how good your defense is, he's going to break a play at the end of the game. And he does it all the time.
You know, we had DK Metcalf on the Dan Petro recently. And I wonder, because, you know, we don't get to watch practices, but it seems like I would say maybe half of Russell Wilson's completions come off him scrambling in the pocket and moving and then delivering the ball.
Yeah.
I wonder how scripted the adjustments are for the wide receivers. Like, they have to think about that stuff. Like, okay, if you see Russell roll right, and you're on this pattern, you go fly, you go other way, you go to the sideline. Because I don't think it could just be reactionary.
Yeah, that's a great question.
And again, that's something I'm never going to get an answer to.
Well, you know, it's funny. I remember in the last few, even this week, you know, Metcalf's been super hot, but the announcer sometimes criticizes routes. They say like, oh, Metcalf drifted a little bit on this one. Even in the last few weeks, like, it still seems like he's perfecting NFL route running, but the one where he beat the Eagles, he ran like 8 yards, paused a little bit, then just outran everybody. It was ridiculous.
When that ball was in the air, I watched a lot of DK Metcalf this year because we got the red zone. I thought he was going to drop it because it looked a little long, and his hands earlier in the year, he would drop quite a few.
Yeah, but maybe that's like his kind of catch, and over the shoulder. But I'm telling you, that guy's dude. And Tyler Lockett, I actually said that the Eagles might win this game because Tyler Lockett will get hurt in the first quarter. But he didn't get hurt in the first quarter. The guy always leaves the game. And then they didn't run the ball. Oh, the Eagles could have won that game. I was so mad. Did I tell you that? That was the Eagles game to have before Jadeveon Clowney. Dirty hit or no dirty hit? I think it was a dirty hit, but I'm an Eagles fan, so forget it.
Yeah, I think if Carson Wentz doesn't get hurt,
it's close.
It's real close because they were down 8 with the ball inside the 15-yard line with Josh McCown.
With Josh McCown, right. And they passed on a couple field goals. They could have been down 5. It was a close game. It was in Philly. Seattle, I'm telling you, if he pulls out a Super Bowl with this team, I'm making a statue and I'm putting it in your house.
Which quarterback of the remaining quarterbacks, the 8 quarterbacks left, would benefit the most from having a good Super Bowl game and winning? The most. And so that means they could go from low to high to higher. All right, so I'm going to go through.
Oh, you got the names. Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to start with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, no doubt.
If he wins, let's say these people win Super Bowl MVP.
Oh, so it's Kirk Cousins with one other guy who might be.
So if Kirk Cousins wins Super Bowl MVP.
It puts to rest so many negative storylines over the years.
It's all gone. It's a wash away.
Oh, it's incredible. It's a sea change. He's number one. That's good.
It's kind of like what Matt Ryan would have had.
Yes.
Right?
Matt Ryan's still a Hall of Famer, but absolutely, it's a great, but it's even worse. Like, Kirk Cousins has always been known as a guy who can't win the big game, even more than Ryan.
And especially with the Vikings, especially with the team you do it with, too, who they've never had a title. Jimmy Garoppolo.
No, I would put another
But
one.
If he gets an MVP.
Yeah, there's still a guy I would put who could do more.
But what would it do for him?
Oh my God, do everything for him. It'd be big. You know, there's still this idea, even if he won the Super Bowl, there's still this tag that they win despite Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right.
It's got a little bit of that Joe
Flacco. Shake that.
Yeah, yeah. He feels like a little Joe Flacco-ish, or like, even if he has a big game, I don't think it elevates him into top 3 quarterbacks. People are going to say they won because of defensive running.
Would it be fair to say, based on the odds right now, Lamar Jackson is the favorite to win the Super Bowl MVP because his team is the favorite to win it, and he's the favorite to
I'll bet you Vegas has Super Bowl MVP odds, and I'll bet you he's it.
If he wins Super Bowl MVP, is he the new face of the league over Brady, Rodgers, Wilson, Watt, Mahomes? Or is he just right even?
I think he's over. I think it's close.
Is it almost like a young Iverson going to the finals where not only is he cool and fun to watch and you want to buy his jersey and he's smooth, he's actually producing?
Totally. I mean, I kept trying to think of who's an analogy like him, like kind of when like a little bit Mahomes came in with him last year, but didn't win the Super Bowl.
Right.
So yeah, I think Lamar. Okay.
Aaron Rodgers, if he wins Super Bowl MVP.
That's big. He's only won one Super Bowl.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah. He really could, he could use that. He has not had a great year. So, which is funny because the team has been really good. That do a lot for him. Which is a guy who's getting back in the conversation is the greatest of all time because he's left that conversation.
Right. He's kind of on the outskirts.
Yeah. Yeah.
With Aaron Rodgers, you have to use a qualifier like he's got the most, he's the most skilled quarterback of all time.
Yeah.
Which means you're slighting his resume.
Yeah. Absolutely. But they have not played great. That's another team. Like, how are they 13-3 or whatever?
It's impressive. Because their wide receivers are scattered.
They're winning like they beat Minnesota and they became 23-10. That's not Aaron Rodgers. Like, what happened to the Packers team that would just, like, come out and roll on offense?
All right, what else you got?
Oh, by the way, the guy who's would gain the most is Ryan Tannehill, right? Right. I mean, maybe Cousins, but, like, Ryan Tannehill would go from a journeyman to...
But he could end up going to, he could end up being Nick Foles, where he has this unbelievable season, and then he gets a five-year... $100 million contract and becomes average again.
Because that's a great analogy, Nick Foles. He could become Nick Foles.
Which would be great.
For him, but we were talking today on the DP show about Tom Brady going to the Titans because of Vrabel. I was just thinking, like, I'm like, wait, are they going to keep Tannehill? Like, is this a short thing? The dude threw for 70-something yards in a playoff game. Anyway.
Man, that's tough. All right, Clemson, LSU, Monday night. If there's sort of an open draft right now, is Trevor Lawrence still?
Oh yeah, my opinion number one.
Locked in, right? There's nothing. Yeah.
I am very curious to see when the Joe Burrow is not going to go number one narrative begins.
Does it happen?
Oh, absolutely. For content, for clicks, you don't think someone's going to throw that out there?
Okay, let's say he plays a really good game and they cruise to a victory. What are you going to criticize that it was too easy for him?
I have no idea. But okay, remember last year Pete Prisco, our buddy, came on the Dan Patrick Show and said Kyler Murray's going number nine or something. Said, like, I have it on a source that the Cardinals aren't taking Kyler Murray. Someone is always going to report. You need to generate buzz. And there's going to be someone in the NFL who tells some reporter that I think the Bengals want to draft Chase Young. So I do think Burrow's going to go number one, but I think at some point someone's going to have to make that storyline. You know how this works, right?
Right. But if you're the Bengals, well, sir,
I think it's going to be, I'll bet you the Vegas odds are huge that it's Burrow. But Burrow, I don't know what he could do right. Like, all the dude does is either runs for first downs or throws touchdowns. Like, there's not a flaw that I've seen.
Last thing up, Jeopardy, greatest of all time.
Yeah,
tournament
awesome.
Going on right now. We've been watching. When you watch Jeopardy and you're like family sitting there, do you answer aloud or in your head?
I've never watched it with my family.
Really? Like, you're sitting at the dinner table at 7, I think it's 7 o'clock it's on.
Yeah, no, my kids control a TV in that situation.
Really?
Yeah, I don't get the TV till after 8. Oh, that's great. But also, too, they would be so bored because the kids don't get any answers, do they?
No, but I think I have an admission to make. I watch Jeopardy sometimes with my family because I'm not the most knowledgeable guy in the world, as you know.
Yeah.
But I'm quick if I know it. I don't know everything. I definitely don't know everything.
So, yeah, so you shout it out loud. Oh, yeah, I know. You definitely shout it out loud.
But then when I don't know one, I just go, And I'm like, ah. And when they answer, I'm like, oh, yes, the Roman Empire.
But do you have that sitting at home Jeopardy phenomenon where you hear the answer and you convince yourself that you knew that even though you didn't blurt it out?
Yes.
Yeah, like, oh, I knew that one.
Yeah.
Oh, Galapagos Islands. Yeah, I had that. Put that down as a
Tennessee Valley Authority. Yes.
Yeah, I got that. Because it's like right on the tip of your tongue and then they yell it out. Like, and it's like it's I don't know if this analogy works. It's like when you're in a relationship, you think you could get every girl out there. Right. Like you're deluded into thinking because you have a great woman who's in love with you. You're like, oh, every woman loves me. It's the same way that you think you know all these answers that you might not know.
Well, I watched the Tournament Champions the other day.
Yeah.
I went about 45 minutes without knowing one answer. I was sitting there going, and I don't know if I'm dumber or the questions are tougher. Hopefully the questions are tougher.
I can't believe they did not know Steve Largent went to Tulsa. And I kind of knew that because I've seen pictures of him in that weird uni.
But the question was, the hint was, former Seahawks legend Steve Largent became a congressman in this area.
But no, the question was, it was the wording was tricky. He went to this college too.
Oh, I did not know he went to college at Tulsa.
You didn't know he went to Tulsa?
I don't think so. I knew he was in politics in Oklahoma. I did not know he went to Tulsa specifically.
There's no way to prove this. I actually did know for some bizarre reason, and I was so proud of myself because a lot of people were tweeting last night. I knew that one, and they didn't know it because they've gotten everything. They've had sports ones that they got in their sleep. They're good at sports. It's annoying. Those guys, it's annoying me how good they are. Is that wrong?
No, they're very annoying. I can't imagine hanging out with them. It just feels so unfair. All right, do you have a hot upset, anything upsetting this weekend?
I like LSU because, like, it's like a narrative story. Like, they've just dominated everybody. They're not going to lose now. Although if Trevor Lawrence did it, you know, he's never lost a college game. I know you know that. So that's big. And then I like...
wait, hold on. Bigger upset, Titans over Ravens, Texans over Chiefs.
Titans over Ravens.
Yeah.
For sure. You don't really know what the Texans are going to do on any given day.
But for some reason...
Such a wild card.
For some reason, I would be more apt to pick the Titans to upset than the Texans. The Texans seem to always come up short. No offense,
yeah, yeah. Oh, I know. It'd be surprising, but they're so talented. What's the nobody knows. I'm seeing a lot of picks out there. No one knows who's going to win the Packers Seahawks games. That one is up in the air.
Whoever has the ball last.
Yeah.
Whichever quarterback. I would bet on, and again, that's a cop-out, but the quarterback who has the ball last.
Yeah, probably. It'd be very interesting if all the experts pick the Niners, by the way. Everyone's high on the Niners. That'd be a big surprise. If the Vikings went to San Francisco and pulled that off, that'd be big. But to me, you're right. The Titans being the Ravens, that'd be huge, right?
Absolutely. This is the Leisureman Podcast on NBC Sports. Hope you liked it. It's okay if you didn't. We'll talk to you next week.
Subscribe.